Good morning, everybody. So good to see you today, and happy that everybody's here. I want you to imagine for a second that you're trying to have a real serious conversation with somebody. It might be that you've walked into your boss's office and you're having that dreaded conversation where you're going to actually make the case that you need a raise. Or maybe you're having a conversation with coworkers about a project that you've been working on. Or maybe you've sat down at the kitchen table to have a really serious conversation with your spouse about your relationship. And imagine that in the midst of you trying to have a really serious conversation, that the person you're talking to seems distracted. Maybe they're flipping through a notebook, or they're looking at their phone, or they're texting something to someone, and they're listening, but not really. We've all been there. Sometimes we've been guilty of that too. We live in a day and age, I think, where it is particularly difficult, increasingly so, for us to really completely listen to other people. We have just an endless array of distractions all around us. Some of us are easily distracted anyway, but considering the fact that all of us are carrying around a little personal computer in our pockets all the time that are giving us ceaseless notifications about, you need to check this, here's an email there, here's a text over here. We're constantly being bombarded with distraction that takes our attention away from the person that we're talking to. I've been told, I don't know if this is true or not, but I've been told that researchers say that you and me, we can hear three times faster than anybody can talk. And if that is in fact the case, then you can take in a lot of information more than what someone is trying to communicate to you. So you got all these distractions around you, and really we can listen a lot faster and take in a lot more information than the person trying to communicate to us. And so because that's the case, we kind of fade off, or we think about other things, or we're multitasking even while we're looking someone in the eye. It's really difficult, and it takes work, and it takes a real effort to be a good listener. But it is so vital to your relationships. This is part two in a series that I'm calling Communication Skills, Breathing New Life into Your Relationships by Eliminating Those Conversation Killers. Now, we all have them. We have those things that kill conversations. Sometimes we don't even realize that we're doing it. But I just want to challenge all of us in this series that, you know, I think all of us can agree that we would like our relationships, whether it's our marriages or, relationships with coworkers, with our boss, whatever, we would like our relationships to be better. Now, maybe you've got great relationships, but I don't think there's anybody in here that would say, I don't really need to improve my relationships. I think all of us would say, yeah, we could shore up and improve and cultivate and nurture the relationships that we're in with people interpersonally. And the theory that I'm trying to present to you, which I think is sound in this series of lessons, is that if you want the best relationships possible, then the number one thing that you can do is really try to be intentional about sharpening the way you communicate. I think that all of us would do well to really give some focused attention to the way that we come across to people. I don't know if you've ever really sit down to really think about that. But I think we would all probably be better at our jobs. We'd have better marriages. We'd have better relationships with our kids, with our neighbors, with coworkers, if we would be a little more intentional about this. So I just want to challenge you, because I'm really being challenged through this series, to really kind of think about the way that I communicate. Now, I do this professionally. But all of us, no matter what your occupation, you're going to be a better person and have better interactions with others if you're intentional about the way you come across to folks. So really the goal, wow, that's completely unreadable. The goal of our communication with one another is really to try to understand and be understood. That's really the goal of communication. By the way, this is review from part one. 2 weeks ago, we started this series, and some of you weren't here because it was Labor Day weekend. Well, this is in a nutshell what we talked about. If you've not heard the sermon, I encourage you to go to our website and go to our iTunes account and listen to part one in this series. This is part two. But in part one, we talked about really sharpening our communication skills are going to help relationship. And really, what does it mean to communicate? There it is. To communicate means to understand and to be understood. All of us want that. We want to really better understand people, and we want people to better understand us. That is the goal of all communication. So the first skill that we learned in part number one is the number one thing you can do to increase understanding with other people is to present yourself in such a way that you are a safe individual to communicate with. And we looked at some very practical ways to do that and some scripture from the book of Proverbs that guide us in creating safe atmospheres in the way we communicate to other people. But today, what I want to do in part two is I want to introduce something that we're going to explore today in this lesson, and also something we're going to explore in part three, which will be 2 weeks from today. And so in that particular vein of thought, what I want to present to you is if you want to be understood and to understand people better, it's all about the cycle of understanding, which involves two things: being an active listener and being an assertive person, an assertive communicator. Now, keep in mind, I did not say aggressive. Not being an aggressive person, but being an assertive communicator. Now, we're going to explore what it means to be assertive in part number three. Essentially, what being assertive is all about is being able to articulate well and practice your ability to articulate what you feel. Now, that comes easier for some people, usually the female gender, more so than us guys. By and large, that's somewhat of an overstatement. But for some of us, that's easier than others. But all of us would do well to work on our assertiveness. Some of us don't have to do much work. Some of us got a lot of work to do. But you've got to be able to articulate what you feel. But then also, it's this idea of being able to actively listen. Not just listen, but actively listen and hear the heart of another person. That's what the cycle of understanding is all about. And so we're going to explore both of those. So today we're going to look at what does it mean to actively listen to other people. So to actively listen, understanding, I think the slides are messed up, David, because I think all the backgrounds are supposed to be black. So if all the backgrounds are black, I think all this will show up. So I think we messed up somewhere in the transition. But if understanding another person has to do with being balanced in the way we communicate. If where communication breaks down is when we become imbalanced. So if one person in a conversation is just an over-talker, is talking, and doing very little listening, then you're going to have one individual in the conversation that is being maybe understood and the other person that is completely not being understood. And so we've got to work at this balance of understanding and communication in such a way that we're balancing out. There we go. We're balancing out both being able to articulate the way we feel and being able to actively listen to others. Now, here's the thing. You can work at that and the other person can be horrible at it and you've got no control over what the other person does. But you've got control over what you do. And so I think of it in terms of like a seesaw. So in an ideal relationship where you feel like, you know what, that person gets me, they understand where I'm coming from, they understand how I feel, and that other person that you're in the relationship with, they understand you, you understand them, there's just a real symmetry of communication. That is happening when both people are both actively listening well and are both being assertive to be able to articulate and communicate what they're feeling well. Now, again, you've got no control over what the other person does, but you've got control over what you do. So here's the challenge, is that if you're going to sharpen the way you communicate, you've got to give real focused attention to working on both your assertiveness and your active listening. If you can do both of these really well, it's going to improve every relationship that you're in. Now, all of us are probably stronger naturally at one of these more so than we are the other. Some of us are really good listeners. It just seems to come naturally, but we're not real good at being able to articulate what we're feeling to other people. Others of us are real good at articulating, and we're horrible at listening. And so no matter who you are or where you are, there is probably one of these areas that you need to really hone in on and focus in on for improving in your life. But you got to have both of these. And if you're weak in one of these areas, I promise you it is negatively impacting your relationships, and you may not even know it. In some way, it is negatively impacting your relationships. So we're going to look at both of these. Now, Scripture is going to be very direct about the importance of this. Again, we're looking at the book of Proverbs. This is just everyday advice for good everyday living. And in Proverbs 18, there are two statements that really drive this point home. In Proverbs 18:2 from the New Living Translation, listen to this. Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their opinions. I don't want to point any fingers. But I know, you know, for some of us, we have a lot on our minds. We never are at a loss for some kind of insight, or some kind of thought that we can communicate. And in fact, you can only just start to open your mouth, say two words, and I already know what I'm going to say next. Some of us are that way. And the Bible tries to be very careful, but sometimes it's very direct, and it says, you're a fool, sir. You are a fool. If you are not showing genuine interest in trying to understand other people, if you're the kind of person that loves to talk and you're always talking and you're never listening and you're always wanting to air your opinion, you're always wanting to give your insight, you're always wanting to give what you think, speak your mind, and you're not giving attention to understanding, really hearing another person's heart, the Bible says you're foolish. In fact, I think the idea here is not only are you foolish because other people are going to see that you don't really seem to care about them, but you're foolish because you don't even realize how you are sabotaging every relationship that you're in. You're sabotaging it. Proverbs 18 and verse 13 from the Message puts it pretty bluntly. I like this. Answering before listening is both stupid and rude. If you're giving an answer before the other person, and let me tell you, I'm the first to confess to you that I've got a lot of work to do in this. If you've had many conversations with me, especially about something that I really care strongly about, you will know that I have a really bad habit of interrupting people. I recognize that about myself. I'm in a process of repentance, and I'm really trying to work on that. Some of you that know me really well say, well, you're not working hard enough. Well, I'm trying, and I'm really working on it. And this series, to be honest with you, as I've looked at it, I'm even more convicted about working on it for me. So we're all in this together. We've all got work to do. But the Proverbs is pretty direct, Proverbs 18:13, that if I answer you before I've really listened to what you got to say, it's stupid, and it's rude. I'm being rude to you, and it's stupid on my part because I'm sabotaging the communication process and self-destructing relationship. I mean, I can't tell you, as I look back on my life, I wonder how many things could have been easily solved if I would have just shut my mouth and listened a little longer. But by talking too much before I've really listened to the person, I make situations worse than maybe they should be. Or make them harder, more difficult than really they should be. So the Proverbs are real, real direct to us on this, the importance of actively listening. So you might be like this dog, or maybe know somebody that you've talked to, that they're looking at you when you're talking with them, and they're doing work. They're like me. They're working hard. Okay, I'm not going to talk. I'm going to listen. And so I'm looking at you. But I'm not really listening. I'm just waiting my turn. See, we're not talking about here just learning to talk less in the moment so you can talk more in the next moment. We're talking about here genuinely, and this is demonstrated by the way our body language, the eye contact we make, the posture we take, as to whether or not we're actively trying to listen to another person. I like what Ernest Hemingway once said about the importance of listening. He said, when people talk, listen completely. And then he goes on to say, most people never listen. I think that's true. I think most of us never devote ourselves to completely listening to another person. Because again, we got a lot stacked against us. We're easily distracted. We've got a lot of, you know, we got a lot of extra brain power working that's not required to listen. So we're doing a lot of other things in our mind while someone else is talking. I mean, it really is a discipline to listen completely to another person. But I'm telling you, if you will try, and if I think I really believe this, that if we will try to work hard at improving listening completely to other people, every relationship we're in will improve. Because people will see they really care. They really get me. They really understand. And it creates depth of relationship. It will improve your marriage and greater intimacy of relationship, because this person is trying to understand me, where I'm coming from, and hear not just the words that are coming out of my mouth, but they understand where my heart is. So we've got to work hard, you and I, at listening completely. And it's really this idea of what some have termed active listening. You say, what is active listening? Active listening is whenever you are listening attentively to another person without interruption. And then before you say anything in response, you first essentially let the other person know that you heard what they said. And one great way of doing this, which I know sounds elementary and really Mickey Mouse and really cheesy at first, but it's the practice of what's called mirroring, which is where you say something, and before I have the right, if I'm really serious about this, before I give myself the right, the permission to respond, I will first say, so what I hear you saying is this, and I will repeat back to you so you know that I heard you and that we can clear up any misunderstandings in what maybe you've said. Now, this really hit me hard several years ago, because as I was trying to work on my relationship skills and my communication skills, I went through a course called Prepare and Enrich, which is, in a nutshell, it's a course that's used throughout the nation with tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of couples that counselors use for premarital and marital counseling. And by going through that training to be able to administer that, to be able to minister to other people that are going through crisis or difficulty in their marriages, or to prepare people for marriage, I learned this idea of active listening. And I've found that people that come to me that are having relationship problems, many times the root of a lot of those problems, not always, but many times, is that one or both people are just really not listening. And so we go through this practice where I say, all right, here's the exercise I want to give you, is that for the next week, I want you to be rigid about this. And I want you to practice and discipline yourself so that whenever your spouse talks to you, you refuse to interrupt them and you refuse to allow yourself to respond with any advice, critique, or insight until you have first said the words, what I hear you saying is, and you rephrase in your own words what you heard them say. And the other person has to do it too. Now, I'll tell you that whenever I assign that assignment to couples, it feels forced at first. But I'll tell you from my personal experience that if you will train yourself to do this and you'll do the kind of regimented, what I heard you say was, and you'll do that enough, it eventually gets to the point where you don't have to even say the words anymore. But you just naturally, intuitively start doing it. And I'm telling you, this is like a, it's like, I don't know that it's like a secret pill, like a secret, you know, thing that, but if you will work on this and do this, it will take you light years ahead in every relationship you're in. It just absolutely will. So how you do it? Let me real quickly kind of give you the summary. Essentially, here's how you actively listen. First of all, you show yourself to be attentive, fully attentive to the other person. This has everything to do with demonstrating by your body language and the way that you're conducting yourself with another person that you are fully present. You refuse to look at your phone. You know, the thing can be dinging till it's dead. I mean, you're going to ignore that. You're going to turn the phone off, whatever, eliminate as many distractions as possible and really tune in to the other person and be attentive, to be fully present. And fully present in such a way that you're listening, not again with just your ears, but you're listening with your heart to try to understand the thoughts and the feelings behind what the other person is saying. This is being attentive. Secondly, show genuine interest. Show interest in what the other person is saying. Now, this begins to get exponentially difficult for some of us. But to show, and you say, well, that's insulting. You say that I'm not interested in other people. Well, I'm just telling you, for me, to show genuine interest is difficult because what that really means is I have to withhold my desire to want to offer help by interrupting the person, finishing their sentences, or try to speed the conversation along because I think I know where you're going. But instead, be fully interested, fully attentive, fully engaged, actively listening to what the other person is saying, and be open. And what by being open, the idea here is that I'm not going to be too quick to just jump in to give advice. But instead, I'm going to focus fully on what the other person is saying, and not necessarily what it means to me, but try to understand what it means to them. There's a big difference. Sometimes there's a communication breakdown between two people because one person is saying something, and I think you said something you didn't say. So I need to be open to understanding that what the words you are saying could have many different connotations and meanings, and I'm going to not try to assign what I think you mean to the words you're using, but instead try to really be open to what you are intending to communicate. And then number four, I want to be sensitive to actively listen. To be sensitive means that I've got to work hard at not being distracted by my own judgments. And I'll tell you, that's hard for me. Because I think I know your motivations. I think I know what you're thinking before you even think it. And that's not fair. I need to listen with an open heart and be sensitive that even though you might be saying something that on the surface sounds completely wrong or maybe completely even offensive, I need to hear you out because maybe you just don't have, the person I'm talking to may not have the words to be able to fully communicate what they're feeling. And so I need to give you time to fully try to explain yourself and be sensitive and not rush to conclusions that I think I know what you're saying. And then finally, be curious. This is really important. It goes back to the idea of mirroring. And that is, if I'm being curious as an active listener, that means I'm showing genuine interest in what you're saying by often repeating to you what you just said. So what you're saying is that if we had more time together that was uninterrupted in our relationship, if maybe there were some more opportunities for us to have date nights together, that maybe it would really greatly improve our connection as a couple. That's what I'm hearing you say. Is that what did I understand you right? What I'm hearing you say is that I'm doing a good job as an employee here, but that you think that I'm giving too much attention to this area when in fact I should give it to this area. Is that what I'm hearing you say? And so by asking even, by repeating and then asking follow-up questions for clarity. So help me understand exactly what you're saying here. You said this, but give me a little bit more clarity as to what you mean by that. By asking follow-up questions and repeating, I'm trying to be curious, and that shows I'm fully engaged, I'm actively listening to the conversation. So it all has to do with this. Actively listening means that I'm trying to cultivate an atmosphere of trust and respect. That's what it all boils down to. You see, so if I want to really help my relationships by improving my communication, a lot of it has to do with the atmosphere I'm creating. We talked last time in part one about creating a place of safety of communication. But here we're talking about not only creating an atmosphere of safety, but creating an atmosphere of trust and respect by actively listening to the other person. So I really think this is so vitally important. The New Testament would emphasize it as being so. In James chapter 1 and verse 19, a passage that most of us are real familiar with, I want you to think of it in terms of the way you communicate and in terms of helping your relationships. Everyone. Now, when he starts out in James 1:19 and says everyone, that means there is nobody in this room that is excluded from this instruction. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. You see, I don't know about you, but I know for many of us, we're exactly the opposite. We're quick to become angry, and we're slow to listen, and we're quick to speak. And James says, you want to live the kind of life that's going to bless those around you, that's going to cultivate depth of relationship, and create a healthier environment with the people around you, then everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Now, I know this verse, and I know today, I know it. I know it. Today, after you leave, and you're going to go to Logan's or Cracker Barrel, and you're going to be sitting there, and you're going to be having your lunch, or you're going to go home, and there's going to be an endless number of little sharp, little funny little jokes. Yeah, I really got to work on that, you know, or yes, you know, my wife was elbowing me during the sermon, you know, all that kind of stuff. I know, we do that. But before you're so quick to make a funny little joke about it, to kind of dismiss the conviction, I want every one of us to really take this to heart now. Every one of us needs to work harder at being quick to listen and slow to speak. Because if you are, then you create an atmosphere of trust and respect and safety with other people, and you'll find that there's a lot less anger going on in your relationships. It's kind of the natural result. As we close the lesson, I want to close with Jesus, which is where we always should close every lesson as we come together in His name. And as we close, I just want to say that Jesus, whenever He came to this world, He was communicating to us the will of God. And there was on one occasion when Jesus went up onto a mountain, and on that mountain He took three of His closest followers, and they saw something extraordinary. The presence of Jesus, which they had known to be human flesh, was completely and radically altered before their very presence. And it penetrated everything in them to see God in human flesh, the veil kind of pulled back, and the brightness of His presence, of His clothing, being as bright as the noonday sun. He was transfigured, He was metamorphosized, He was changed before their presence, and they got a glimpse into the all-present glory and power of God. And in that moment, there was a voice that spoke from heaven, the voice of God the Father. And that voice said this, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. Listen to Him." I ask you this morning, are you listening to the words of Jesus in your life? More than that, are you active? actively listening? Are you hearing the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life and being open to the leading of the Lord? Because this morning, He may be leading you. You may be feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. Come and listen. Come and listen to what I'm telling you. This is the life you need to live. And it begins by surrendering your life to Him fully in repentance and baptism. And maybe you need to do it today. Maybe you need prayers. Maybe you just need other believers to sit down with you and listen and understand your heart. And then pray to the Father because He's listening to our prayers. If we can pray with you, we'd love to do that. Or privately with the elders, the shepherds of the flock in the library. If we can help you, come to Jesus as we stand and sing.